Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and hello. This is Joseph G. with Rum Radio and rumradio.org, the most comprehensive 12-step sponsorship in the known and the unknown universe. And I'll tell you, folks, the longer I've been around, there's more of the unknown universe that you can than you can tip your hat at. It's all around us. This is a spiritual universe. I believe that we're physical beings having a spiritual we're spiritual beings having a physical experience, and I'm more than content with that agreement. I'd like to acknowledge WNAH. It's Hoyt Carter and Tony the Horse who affords us the opportunity to broadcast live to their listening audience in Nashville, parts of Kentucky, and Alabama as a public service presentation. We also like to acknowledge RecoveryToday.net magazine. It's one of the finer recovery journals that affords us some print space from time to time. They have some really good articles in there. Some of the people that are known in the program are in there. Some celebrities of recovery. We have them as there's nothing so common as the wish to be remarkable, wherever you might find your hand. Everybody wants to be acknowledged, and everybody wants to do a good job, and we're okay with that. I'd gratefully like to introduce my co-host, Harold B. He's a family intervention specialist. He does a fine work with troubled families, and I personally believe the families are the basic unit of our society. And as the family goes, so does the nation. On another note, I believe that the families are under attack, under spiritual attack. They have been for a very long time. They're being beset on all sides. Children are not being taught correct principles. They have nothing to go by other than the internet, and they're growing up like abandoned lot weeds. We wonder why these things are happening. Computer programming, we're on the computer. I'm on a lot. And if I was a kid, what they found out, it's reprogramming their brain in a two-dimensional reality. That's not real. A two-dimensional reality is a flat screen with imagery. That's two-dimensional. We live in a three-dimensional analog society. We interact with each other on a physical plane. So when they go out, they're uncomfortable in the real world. You know, they know the video games and how dangerous they are. That's up for question. Constitutionally, it's the right of free speech, and the it's an art and a form. But I believe that parents should curtail the amount of use on the computer. The computer is a good God-given tool. But like anything, it could be misused. And so much so today, because this is a new technology, and we're like little babies on a teething ring, you know, and seeing how far this thing is going to take us. It'll take us to the stars, but it's also going to take us to the pit. The fabric of our society is being torn, and I believe on a moral basis, AA, NA, and all the recovery programs are helping to stem the tide of this moral decline, I believe, and that this is a good work that has the ability to help many. So, Harold, tell us about your family intervention.
Well, thank you, Joseph, and hello, everybody. It's nice to be on the air in your living rooms and kitchens again to talk about recovery and how to how to make this disease go into remission and keep it in remission. It's one thing to stop drinking and drugging. It's another thing to stay stopped, very much more difficult. And yes, I've had some very troubled families this week. It's so sad. I just want to put a plug in for you parents of teenagers. No dating one-on-one in high school. Please, you guys, come on. You may have been allowed to do it. It is not healthy. kids cannot handle the pressures. They should not be in a position where they can have sex in secret. Don't let them date in cars. The car is a very dangerous place for achieving an unwanted pregnancy. I feel like I need to say that.
Especially the back seats of Ramblers.
Yeah.
Harold is no, you know, that's all really great advice, but in the real world, that's not going to happen.
Hey, wait a minute. A lot of parents believe that they cannot teach abstinence, but their country, right in the middle of Africa, the first lady there decided to give it a go and teach abstinence, and it worked fantastically. They
really
cut their unwanted pregnancy and their teen pregnancy rate in half in just 3 years. So don't give me the fact that you can't teach abstinence. It is definitely, you can't eliminate all of it, but like the fellow throwing the sand dollars out into the ocean, there were millions of them on the beach, and a friend of his said, well, you can't save all these, but he said, well, I can save this one. So parents, the number one killer of kids is car wrecks, number two is suicide, and number three is AIDS. So let's save our kids' lives, keep them out of cars. Don't give them a car when they're in high school, and don't let them date one-on-one. Let's return to some sanity here. They can
don't
wait till college
cars.
Date.
Don't give them cars. You know, hey, that's against General Motors. That's against General Motors. Remember, what's good for General Motors is good for the country. Let me introduce...
Well, if kids live.
Let me introduce Carmen. Carmen is volunteered to work our switchboard tonight. We have a chat room open. So any of you folks would like to come in and you don't want to get on the radio, but, you know, you feel comfortable discussing what we're talking about, Carmen is in there and she's going to moderate the board. And then if you'd like to come in and talk about it or you just want to talk about it in the chat room, she's really good. She's done this before and she's volunteered to help us. Carmen, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everybody. The name's Carmen. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you, Carmen. Carmen's from the Rowdy Rum. It's a Facebook recovery chat. What would you call it? Like a chat? We discuss
it's,
things.
Yeah, it's a recovery site, controversial sites. We discuss all recovery-related topics, all sides to the topics. It's a wonderful room.
It is, and I really like the Rowdy Rum. There's other ones too, and they all have their place. There's the Big Book and Big Book Thumpers, and but I like the Rowdy Rum. I guess it's more of my personality. I prefer a little controversy. I prefer a little thought. You know, I had a sponsor one time recently. He called me Bob B. He's got about 34, 37 years of sobriety, and he calls me up on my birthday, and Bob says, you know, Joseph, you know, happy anniversary, you have 16, I'm sweet 16 as of January 10th. And he says, you know, I've been banned from the Post Oak Club here in Houston for life. And I said, Bob, considering your age and declining health, that's not all that long. And yeah, he chuckled a little bit. I think it was outrageous. That's not AA. And one time he said, I called one of his, we had dual same sponsor. Me and this other fellow were having an issue, and we had the same sponsor, Bob. And I go, Bob, I says, Miles is giving me a hard time with this. And he said, well, you know, the people in the group are having a hard time with you. And I said, well, pray tell. He says, they don't like your ideas. I said, pardon me? I says, this country is based on the exchange of free ideas. AA is based on the exchange of free ideas. There's no fellowship in the world that can tell you, like AA, they don't tell you what to say, what to do, and we have no police force. So this is the ultimate free speech.
In the recovery world.
In the recovery, yeah. And that's what AA was. We had no police. And I'll end with this. We're going to do the It's a Dark Night of the Soul When Recovery Starts to Grow Old. It's about being long-term in sobriety. Somebody else wrote this. A guy with 54 years of recovery, where recovery started to dim down. And it happens, and we're going to look at some of the reasons why it happens. I believe that these things happen for a particular reason. I believe nothing grows without nothing grows spiritually without pain. Pain is the touchstone of all pure spiritual growth, and you can't grow spiritually and be comfortable at the same time. So, Harold, you got the phone number calling?
Yes, that call-in number is 949-534-0621. One more time, 949-534-0621.
Thank you, Harold. All right, it's all the post on it's Rum Radio. It's one of the featured posts on the rotating scale. Anyway, you know, I missed my train, so I did. So it's a free exchange of ideas, and I like that about Rowdy Rum. You know, they try to make it a little intriguing, where people have their different thoughts and ideas. You know, if you get 15 alcoholics in a room, you're going to get 20 opinions. Everybody's right, nobody's wrong. It's like group conscience. It's like an eternal group conscience.
Yes.
Okay. We were having trouble with personal relationships, in control or emotional natures. We were privy to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had feelings of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. That's in the big book, page 52. Oh, the other thing, I like to start off with the third step prayer. This is the first assignment I give to my new sponsees. I like to call them sponsees. The term that's normally used is pigeons, I don't like that. I think it's kind of condescending, but that's the way it is. I like to call them sponsees. I'm a sponsee for somebody else, and somebody's my sponsor. I wouldn't be like to be called a pigeon. Pigeon has the connotation of being a sucker. You know, there's a sucker born every minute. I'm nobody's pigeon. We're not asked to be pigeons in recovery. It's suggested we do certain things, and by doing those certain things, we get a new way of living. It's called a design for living, and we help each other. That's how this thing works. That's how it worked in the beginning, and that's how it works now, and that's how it will always work, because it's correct. The third step prayer, and I have them call a different man every day from their beginner's list or their newcomer's packet. They get a list of men from their home group, so now they've instructed to get a home group so they connect up, and every day they ask one of these fellas who've given them permission to call and ask permission to recite the third step prayer. It gets them used to picking up the 500-pound telephone and asking for help. Ooh. It connects them up in the fellowship. They get to know his name, and they get to know their name. He gets to know their name. And it encapsulates what we're going to try to accomplish by working all 12 steps. I also call this a surrender prayer. And the fellow who's thinking about picking up a drink probably will not, after speaking to the newcomer, telling him the third step prayer. So now your new sponsee is in recovery. And this is the prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thy wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen on that.
There you go. An old-timer with 55 years of sobriety writes about his experiences with a very important and much too often misunderstood major part of everyone's recovery, the spiritual transformation cycle. In the dark night of the soul, and how to make it through those times when you're unable to call on your previous spiritual awakening or growth and become negative, angry, depressed, self-centered, and destructive, and want to give up and drift away from the program. I have a little picture there. It says, don't drift away. It doesn't happen immediately. It's usually, this is a long-term situation. For some newer people, it usually takes shorter. They're willing to jump out quicker. But if this man would have gone out and drank after 55 years, I would bet you dollars to donuts he would have been dead in less than a couple months. That's my experience. Harold, what do you think?
Yes, the the fact that this is a life and death issue sometimes escapes some of the people in some of the 12-step meetings. The meetings that I really enjoyed most over the past 25 years, a lot of them have been the NA meetings, Narcotics Anonymous. Those folks seem to have a grasp of the idea that this is life and death. They don't take it lightly in those meetings, and I really appreciate that. I try to emphasize that with some of the families that I'm helping these days. About half of the families, the root problem is really drinking or drugging, a drinking problem. And now I sometimes make the mistake of getting a little ahead of the client and ahead of their willingness. We really have to gauge things by the person's willingness. I had to apologize last week. The person came back. You know, if I get too far ahead and I'm pushing too hard, they'll just leave.
Well, you know,
she came back.
Apologized. You know, that's in the big book. Did you know that? That was in the big book. It says, when
yes, absolutely.
The hospital,
that's in chapter 7.
Yeah.
It's very, very clear in there. Don't say too much
too soon. Yeah, you could cast them away. But you got to remember, though, they only had 6 days at the most. Because if they were in the hospital, that was the stay, was 6 days. So you have to look at the time frame that they were dealing with. And they said, don't push too hard. They meant within the time frame that they were dealing with. So it wasn't like on one sitting, you might come back the next day and see the guy or make an appointment at his home or something like that. But it was done within a very short period of time. It wasn't dragged out for months or weeks or months. It was done fairly quickly. Carmen,
and I get
to that.
About once a week, and this was about the fourth visit, and I was pushing awfully hard, and I thought, oh, wow, I wonder if she's going to come back. She did come back, and she did decide to give that a shot and quit drinking. So I was pleased, but once in a while, I only get one visit with people, and no matter how gently we put things, they won't come back for any reason. So
well,
I'd like to with a few gems during that first visit.
Well, you
sure,
want to know,
yeah.
I don't know if they don't come back, but I think they do come back, but it might be a few years later. I don't think we have the stats on any kind of that. Because I think that I was one of those that came in younger and thought, no, this is not for me, and had to go back out and you know, 10 more years at it. But I came back, the seed had been planted, and I knew when my end had come, I knew where I had to go.
That's a good reminder. I've got a family right now that was, they took a little bit of advice, counseling 5 years ago, and they're back now again. So that's a great reminder, Carmen. Thank you.
Well, I grew up, my father is an alcoholic. He actually died in the disease, but I grew up knowing about AA, and in all honesty, I didn't have personally much faith in the program until I needed it, and when I came into the program, I didn't have much faith, and I stuck around, and I came to believe. I'm one that goes against the odds. I really had no faith in recovery when I got here. I was here to please all kinds of people other than myself, and you know, it worked out beautifully for me. God had very different plans for me, and I'm grateful for that today.
Thanks, Carmen. You know, I think it's good to remember sometimes, and what we're doing with Rum Radio, too. I go out on the Facebook, and I put out missives and all that, and I do a lot. I'm not so concerned with the harvest, but I do see to the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Because I might not know where what is planted, whether that's going to flourish today or tomorrow or a year from now, and maybe I'm not even supposed to know. But I know if
right.
I'm planting seeds, eventually there will be a harvest.
Right, right.
Okay,
and if it helps one person in your path, that was a seed well planted, right?
Yes, that's it. So we can't really, if you think you can change the world, it's either grandiose romanticism or politics. You can only change the world one man at a time.
Absolutely, and by my actions. We lead by the things we do. You know, that's how we change things.
I believe the man that's changed, that changes the world, is the sponsor more than the sponsee. Because how unlike it for us to give us up our time, talents, and treasures to someone else, to see to someone else's best good. That's the change. Okay, let me continue. At the first sign of the dark night, we choose to surrender everything, letting the natural spiritual transformation cycle run its course. We could save ourselves pain and frustration with a completed cycle we often experience, a fulfillment beyond our expectation, overflowing with awe, love, and gratitude. Before we reach that wonderful state of bliss, we have a serenity journey to travel out of the darkness into a new light, guided and directed by the tender mercy and grace of a higher power. In this article, we focus on that dark night. Learning how to live a new way of life is grounds for problems. Doing what we should not, or not doing what we should, or resisting change produces problems. To correct these, apply the program tools at our present level. You know, everybody's at a different level. You got to remember that. A higher power governs the dark night, not our efforts contrary to problems we make up. A higher power transforms the dark night into an asset as the cycle runs its course. The end of this article, it is a set of useful suggestions for a dark night caused by the many problems our selfish, self-centered set into motion. My first spiritual transformation experience was when alcohol stopped working. With everything else, of course, I had no idea what was happening. I just knew I was in trouble. I found myself at Alcoholics Anonymous's door, bankrupt every way a human can be except one, spiritually. I didn't have an active spiritual account at the time. Alcoholics Anonymous showed me the way to open an active spiritual account, like going to the bank. I worked, and now every daily deposit and withdrawals, if alcohol continued to work, I wouldn't have found this wonderful way of life I now enjoy. The darkness spiritual transformation cycle caused me to hit my bottom. Now, this is a second bottom. Remember that. He's already hit bottom, now he's going to hit a second bottom. But it took them a long time. Revealing my weakness and my powerlessness, there comes a time when no human power can keep us from drinking or keep us from getting insane. Without a conscious contact with a higher power, I could not avoid going through the hell that followed. Let's take a look at a common timeline for the beginning of a dark night of the soul. It ranges from great to just getting by for years. We begin to experience a growing discontentment at first. We were not unhappy, but we're not happy. What a rut is, it's a grave open on both ends. When current levels of important areas stop working altogether or lack satisfaction, indeed, it is a dark night. Fighting and resisting the natural spiritual Where'd it go? fighting and resisting the natural spiritual cycle causes problems of fear, anger, depression, acting out against others, or turning on oneself sometimes proves fatal. Trying to make old tools work as they did before the dark night availed us nothing. The harder we pushed, the greater the darkness, revealing our inability to understand, manage, or control this dangerous experience. We cannot afford to live on yesterday's bread. Experience, because it's fruitless, but we were trying. Harold?
The there was a wonderful writing 400 years ago called The Greening of the Soul. And it was all about keeping our spiritual life alive and vital on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. I do that now by reading the scriptures every day, listening to commentaries about those, and it really keeps it fresh. I had the honor of talking to a young man a couple days ago who... He was just awakening to a lot of spiritual truth, and he said, "Yes, when I read the Bible, it comes alive." And that was a great reminder for me. It does come alive, and it's such a blessing.
Harold, what it reminds me of, the 23rd Psalm is probably the most recited scripture in the world. It's probably
yes.
mentioned at every funeral, both Christian and Jew.
Yes.
And part of it says, "Now I lay down in green pastures." And I always wondered what the green was about. That means it's fresh.
Right.
So what we find is, not only in the Bible, but also if you want to hide something from an alcoholic, you put it in the big book. Now, the big book is not scripture. The big book is a spiritual enlivened work that comes from scripture. The original writers of the big book were called originally the James Club, and that's what they were going to call Alcoholics Anonymous. So there's a lot of scriptural references, but it's hidden in a way not to threaten anybody's religious application. Because
right.
this isn't about
Thank goodness
religion.
That it was thinly veiled like that, because I couldn't have taken a direct dose of Bible or Jesus Christ way back 25 years ago. I wasn't ready for that, but I did get principles from the big book, and eventually, I did decide to listen to my sponsor and look to see where religious people are right. And now I have quite a nice relationship with Jesus Christ. Like, I teach the 11th graders Sunday school, and today's lesson was about He leads me by the still waters. I lay down in green pastures, and there's not a lot of green in Israel. What that was really about is that the side of the mountain that faced the Mediterranean Sea, droplets of water would be blown by the wind onto those mountains, and little sprouts of grass would crop up between the rocks. So that was the freshness. Little sprigs of grass really kept the sheep alive wonderfully. And so
kept the sheep alive. I like that. Yes, yeah. Feed my sheep. Well, that's what we're trying to do with Rum Radio, is we're trying to feed the sheep, feed the alcoholic, the drug addict. Now, you got to remember, Harold came in as an atheist, and now he has grown in his spiritual understanding. That's really what this is about. It's not particularly coming to any agreement about Jesus. Now, Jesus is my higher power, and that works great for me. It works for Harold, for sure. But the thing is, when
yes.
we come into recovery, you're only going to, you're asked to grow. Bill W. called it a spiritual kindergarten. And that kindergarten meant that we can come in and pick whatever we wanted initially to get started. We could do finger painting, and we can learn to play, work and play well with others, but we're expected to continue our growth in recovery. And this is what happens. This story is about what happens when you try to get all of your spiritual life out of kindergarten. Eventually, you get tired of being in kindergarten. It's not going to do everything you need it to do. And I believe that's why we've turned into this revolving door, spin dry cycle that we've been experiencing for the most part. And I like a lot of it, I believe, is for sponsorship. That's what the website's about. So let me continue. My first spiritual transformation experience, when alcohol stopped working, everything else, of course, I had an idea what was happening. I just knew I was in trouble. I found myself at Alcoholics Anonymous's door, bankrupt. Alcoholics Anonymous showed me, and I repeated that, Alcoholics Anonymous showed me the way to open an active spiritual account. The dark night of spiritual transformation cycle caused me to hit bottom. Let's take a look at a common timeline to the beginning of the dark night of soul. Ranges from great to just getting by for years. Fighting and resisting the natural spiritual cycle causes problems. Trying to make old tools work that didn't work before. Like the caterpillar trapped in its cocoon, it somehow created, unable to free itself alone and unaided, it turns to mush without an identifiable form. Out of the mouth, a beautiful butterfly joins us free. Yes, we experience labor pains that comes with birth, expansion, and growth. Unnecessary pain comes from our resistance. Well, I believe that all spiritual growth comes from pain. Pain is the touchstone of all spiritual experience, and you're not going to grow spiritually and be comfortable at the same time. I also have an article about the law of opposition. You ever hear that, Carmen, the law of opposition?
No, I'm not, no.
It's about that nothing grows without an opposing force. When you go to the gym, the opposing force is gravity.
Okay.
You see that? It builds muscles, strengthens bones, but there's an opposing force. Otherwise, why bother? And the same thing in addiction. So the butterfly, trying to come out of the cocoon, has to fight its way out. And by fighting its way out, it strengthens its wings. And now it comes up, and now it could fly off majestically, but that was the resistance before it could fly. As we try to free ourselves from the cocoon of addiction, we'll also be opposed. As we grow spiritually, we are going to be opposed spiritually. A bottle of booze hidden in a cupboard somewhere will automatically appear. A piece of crack that was in the carpet that you couldn't find will come to the surface. Inside your pocketbook, right at the bottom where you haven't been for a while, a joint or a pill is going to pop up, or an inside coat pocket on a jacket, suit jacket that you had put away a long time ago. Or the opposite sex will have your favorite addiction in tow. All these things and more will happen, not they might, they will happen at terms of hungry, angry, lonely, tired. When you're the most susceptible to a spiritual assault, this is when these things happen. So what do? Get on our knees. We ask God to remove the craving. We call up our sponsor. We get to a meeting and let the people know what's going on. And most importantly, we turn our mind to someone we can help. That works. It works every time. But you have to have at least, and then be thankful. Gratitude, an attitude of gratitude is a prayer unto God. You have to be cognizant, be grateful that we can now act and not be acted upon. All right, let me continue. The following is a later personal experience of the dark night of the soul. As a long-term member of Alcoholics Anonymous, actively living this way of life, I found myself radically changing. My experience this time was more intense than my first dark night. Finding myself unable to call on my spiritual awakening and growth, I became negative, angry, depressed, self-centered, and destructive. I soon wanted to give up and drift away from the program, but I did not. He hung in. When I first came into the program, my sponsor convinced me of the importance of basics. See Daily Survival Kit. I got that at the bottom. No matter what, keep on keeping on. What do you think of that, Carmen?
Well, I'm new in the fellow. Like, you know, I'm still a baby in the fellowship. I'm only a couple years clean. So I'm still in the spiritual kindergarten part of it, but I do see a lot of that. And, you know, you got to keep moving forward and you got to keep growing and you have to. Sometimes I think with long-timers in the room that are like that, newcomers are what they need. They need to be regenerated back into the program and work with people that truly need their knowledge and their experience on being in the rooms and taking the steps. That's where the growth comes, and that's where they continue to grow. You know, bring it to the people that need it the most, the new ones coming in that still need to have that hope that we can go 35 years and enjoy fruitful lives without consuming all of these substances that are so horrible for us.
Thank you, Carmen. Harold, what do you think?
Yes, I agree totally. It's the by far the most important person in the room is the new person. That reminds us what it was like, and so that we will never forget and we will never return to that. What I've seen is that any time we leave an opening for the enemy, he's going to slip in there and cause pain and suffering and eventually death. That's the enemy's goal. This is a disease. It is treatable, but if it isn't treated, it is chronic, which means it gets worse and worse and worse and eventually fatal. And there are lots of other addictions that fit into it. Sometimes, for me, my experience is the enemy couldn't get me to pick up a beer or pick up some marijuana. I refuse to do that. But the enemy also uses HALT, getting too hungry, too angry, too lonely, too tired. And those are attacks at the flank. You know, the enemy will come around the side or the back and attack that way if the direct approach won't work. So the enemy tries to get me to skip meals, to isolate myself and be lonely, to be angry, convince me that this is a justified anger. No such thing for folks in recovery. We can't afford anger. And skip sleep, stay up late, and I add an S to that, be too serious. We've got to be able to laugh at ourselves, but I used to get awfully serious. I was more an agnostic than an atheist.
It goes like this. The newcomer's life's blood to AA, just like the old-timer, is the backbone. But relapse is the soul, because there's nothing more tormented than a head full of AA and a belly full of booze. Let me continue on. Naively, I told myself I could avoid by understanding what we did wrong or did not do right. I sought Alcoholics Anonymous members with similar experience. I asked them questions like, why did you give up a way of life that has endless possibilities? They replied in one voice, everything important stopped working as I knew it. Meetings I loved had turned me off. I lost my conscious contact with my higher power. I tried to pray and meditate, but it felt unreal and insincere. The Big Book and my other favorite books no longer held my interest. I had nothing of value to offer others, but I continued service work, which is kind of a surprise that he would say that. I felt my sponsor talk bumper sticker language. You know, we have on the walls, we have these little sayings, you know, condensed sayings of how the program works. So now it's turned into bumper sticker language. I worked the steps the best I could, but nothing new opened. I tried to talk with the program people, But what I heard was the basics, see the survival kit, which I thought I was doing. You know, just go to meetings, talk to your sponsor, turn your thoughts to someone you can help. We have this regular litany of basics that always seem to help. But this guy was trying it, and he wasn't there. He couldn't drag it up. Why? Why is that, Harold?
Well, I got stuck about step four, and that's really when the life drains out of everything. I had to keep moving through the steps, and not just do them once, but do them over and over, in order for this thing to really stay alive, and for me to have the mental defenses that I needed against that first drink. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. You know what I found, too, is that a lot of people say they do the steps all the time, or they do a fourth step. You know, I'm going to do my fourth step. I'm going to do another fourth step. And, you know, and I don't get it. The fourth step is about the past. If you miss something in the past, well, that's when a fourth step comes into play. But step 10 is steps 4 through 9, taking in a single package in the present. So you don't keep doing fourth steps all the time unless all the stuff keeps dredging up from the past. I think that's a misunderstanding of the step, unless you're not doing a 10th step and you let it pile up in the past, and now it's time again. We know Bill W. did 2/5 steps, but we're assuming he did 2/4, because every time you do a fourth, a fifth has to be active to finish the cycle. But the 10th step will do everything you need it to do if you do it. Now, what's happening with this guy, and I can see this right away, he's losing his spiritual life. We have to stop fighting everything and everyone, including alcohol. Yesterday's tools failed. It's not working for him. A higher power is inviting to the spiritual transformation to a higher level. He's been too long in kindergarten. So all the kindergarten tools aren't working for him anymore. He's been too long there. You can't get a PhD in kindergarten unless it's just piled higher and deeper. You have to grow. Bill W. said AA was not to make AA our life, but to get a life. Now, of course, I missed that part, and my life is basically AA. But the agreement is that we get a life. And part of that life is we go help other people in other areas. We go back to our churches, the gods of our father. You know, there's a lot of other things that recovery is supposed to give us other than in the rooms. We're not supposed to be lounge lizards in the rooms of AA. We go to the meetings as old-timers or people with long-term recovery is to help the new person. That's really the only reason we're going in there. And, of course, the fellowship is our social outing, so we're with sober, recovered people, which is really quite the joy. But our primary purpose to go into a meeting is to go help the new guy. That's what we're there. We're a group, and that's our primary purpose. And you know what? That's our only purpose. It's to stay
sober. The big book says when all else fails, go help a newcomer. It works every time.
Yeah.
And that has been my experience, again, somebody new to sponsoring. When I don't know what else to do and I go work with somebody else, then my problems tend to work themselves out through the habit of working with other people.
Well, what I've discovered is that there's a temporal or physical law that says two things cannot be in the same place at the same time. That's why we have car accidents. And if you're helping someone else, you're divorced from self. Yeah, I put it to you this way. We're in the service of our fellow beings. Are we not in the service of our God? And when we're in that service and in that moment, are we not divorced from self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity? And in that service and in that moment, is that not when we make our conscious contact with our Creator, who lives from moment to moment, eternity to eternity, life everlasting? The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. So when we're working with that new guy, it's not about Joseph anymore. It's not about Carmen anymore. It's not about Harold anymore. It's seeing what we can do for the next guy. And it's like taking a vacation in a, from a bad neighborhood. Harold?
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. That's and Carmen said it perfectly. There's nothing that works better than working with somebody that's new. I try to tell everyone that's new to recovery that we need to do these things, and one of the reasons, the main reason we're doing these things is so that we can help somebody who is newer in recovery than we are. And I start planting that seed very early. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. Yeah, that's what I found for myself. I didn't do that initially. I came to a lot of meetings. I lived in the meetings. I didn't work the steps. That's how I know what's right, because I'm the type of guy, I have to do everything wrong first, at least a couple times, before I realize what doesn't work. So I'm a hard, I went through any length to prove I wasn't an alcoholic. I was willing to go through all that misery to prove that before I finally came in. And finally, until life on life's terms, we use that in the program, meaning, life is hard. Get used to it. When you get to that idea, it gets a little easier. And life on life's terms means that things are going to be hard, folks. They just are. Some people have a better life. It's not because all these good things are happening, which happens tremendously in AA. Some people have wonderful lives. Some people just have lives. And some people have lives that are struggles. And that's just the way it is. What we do is we don't fight against it anymore. God has a plan for us. Once we accept the fact that He's got the plan, and that we go along with His plan. No, we can take the next right step, do the next right thing. What we don't do is buy into the outcome of that action. Whatever it is, if that wasn't God's plan and we felt we took the correct action, we were supposed to get what we were supposed to get and we didn't get it, we're going to go cry in our soup. We used to cry in beer, now we're down to soup. We go cry in our soup. No, God said no. He said we have something else. Probably something better for you or something you need to learn before you're taken from this veil of woe. And you know what? Once you're in recovery, you realize, hey, it's okay. I might not like the outcome, but I accept that as God's will. And you know what? Tomorrow's a brand new day. I tell my sponsees this. If you've made it sober, and this is say, the afternoon, if you made it sober and this is the and it's the afternoon, that means you had a whole sober morning. And if you made it this far, you probably can make it until evening. And if you made it till evening, then you have the nights. Nights were always hard for me. Nights draw out like a blade. And if you can make it through the night, every morning comes with a promise. It's the promise of another sober day. We say that it's one day at a time, and when you first come in, it might not even be a day. It might just be a couple minutes. It might be moment to moment as you're white-knuckling it through. And, and unless you're working a 12-step recovery, all your emotions, because you're not drinking or drugging, all your emotions, all that stuff that's been circling around that you've been suppressing and depressing will be coming to the forefront like a roller coaster. And your only help, your only rescue is the belief in that power that can relieve you from that insanity, and by the intensive work that is represented by the suggestion from the 12 steps. Now, he's got a survival kit here, and I like the way he put that. At first, the darkness of the soul, part of a spiritual transformation cycle, let everything go. Yesterday's bread no longer nourishes our deeper hunger and thirst. Yesterday's bread, that's what he's talking about. The things he did in the past, the things we did in the past, is still not. We've grown, and so that bread's not nourishing us anymore. Our personal reality, challenged at every level, falls short. We have to stop fighting everything and everyone, including alcohol. Yesterday's tools, the spiritual transformation flow, will integrate the lower into higher levels of consciousness if we can get out of the way. That's the big one. We get out of God's way. As long as we're in God's way, he can't perform his work. We need to perform our work well when we can. Look, we're just drug addicts and alcoholics. We're nobody special. I'm nobody special. I'm not going to talk for anybody else. I'm nobody special. So what I have to do is I have to see what works and then repeat the process. There was a movie, it was called The Pawnbroker, and there was this Puerto Rican kid who was the he was working for a Jewish fella from Auschwitz. He survived from Auschwitz, and he goes, "You know, Mr. Nabom, how do you people make money all the time?" He says, "We take a piece of cloth, we buy it for a penny, we rip it in half, and we sell both halves for a penny. And then we buy another piece of cloth, and we do it again and again and again, and there's never enough money for extra milk, a toy for the child, or anything. We just keep doing the same thing over and over again." He goes on, but the point is that if we do the next right thing, and we stay to the basics of the program and continue to grow spiritually, this works. It works really well. My sponsees who really work well get passionate about recovery. They get passionate about helping the next guy. They get passionate about AA. Carmen?
Yes. Well, that's my experience. Just quickly, well, I want to say, you know, we're speaking tonight about long-timers in the program that lose their, you know, their edge and they're not growing spiritually. And as a newcomer relatively in the rooms, to remind you that, you know, as members of AA, to continue to work with the newcomers, you know, that's how I continue to grow spiritually, so that when I'm 25 years in the room with the blessings of, you know, recovery that you both enjoy, I get to grow along those lines. But I want to remind people that are listening tonight that to come into the rooms, we don't arrive in the rooms with this huge enlightenment on God or any kind of an understanding in God, and that's the beautiful part of our program. We just have to be willing. That's all our program is asking us to do, is to be willing to grow along these lines. And where it takes you is between you and the God of your understanding or your lack of understanding or whatever it may be. There's lots of room to allow that to develop into whatever you want it to develop into. You know, and the key is just to continue to work with other people and to continue to give this away. That's how I keep it. And I think it's out of the words of Lois Wilson that she liked to remind Bill Wilson that 100% of the time he remains sober. And for me, you know, this is definitely not about me, but if I can remain sober by helping other people, that's a pretty good day. My children are grateful for that opportunity. So,
thank you. I as a sponsor, I've come in and, you know, and seen these people come in the rooms for years, and the light has gone in their eyes. You know, the spirit can be seen in the eyes. Make no mistake, I've seen it. Where their eyes have darkened, the spirit has departed. There's no more spirit in that body. The spirit is gone. It's been bankrupt, financially, emotionally, and worst of all, spiritually bankrupt. And when you start working the steps with these folks, and they start getting an inkling of that there is that this might work, that they're willing to at least try, willing to become willing. Because it has worked for so many, all of a sudden you'll get to the point where you look in their face and the light comes on. It's a physical manifestation. You can actually see the light come back in your eye. And let me tell you, that's not a thing, that's not a sight to be missed. Now, that was really God doing for them what they couldn't do for yourself, but it's really nice to know and that you helped a little bit, that you were God's channel to get to this person to another level of understanding of spiritual life and to help them get a life back. And you know what? It gives you a joy that most people never get to experience. Harold?
It really is. Sometimes I get a little carried away expecting certain results or hoping for certain results, and it really, tonight's program is a great reminder that Carmen and Joseph and I, all three, remind each other that it's about planting the seeds, planting the seeds. The results are up to God, but we do have a duty to plant the seeds. It's a duty. A lot of people these days seem to want to talk about rights, and I think we need to get back and talk about our duties. That's what's really important. And Carmen, one of the things that we really enjoy doing here is getting back to basics. And I don't know if you've have noticed anything that kind of smacks of being new and different, but there's such an advantage to going all the way back to 1935, understand how it was done originally, and in those early years, there was a lot of power, a lot of effectiveness that that has been lost somewhat. So that's one of the things we do. We interviewed Dick B., who is a great AA historian, and he's reminding us of some things.
I was going to say the big book says, and it's I think in the index, 50% of the people got it right away. The other 25% got it later on, and then the other 25% kept coming back. So what happened? That's not my experience today. Now, you know, a banker friend told me one time, figures don't lie, but liars figure. But it does seem that we've gotten into a spin dry cycle by going away from the basics that really works the best. And a lot of this is the recovery jargon that's crept into the rooms, and people use that as AA, and it's not AA. It's I don't know what it is. It's sort of like a hybrid. It's got two horses and two heads and a tail. Anyway, let me finish up with this. It's the survival kit.
Phrase coming back is not really from the book.
Yeah, that what all we need is right in the book. And I mean, but there's more. They got the 12 and 12 and there's other understandings. But the book is sufficient, and I believe the book works best when it's worked timely. If the book isn't worked timely, then more is needed. It's like a medical operation. If it's a short operation, you don't need as much. But if it's a long, drawn-out operation, you're going to need more tools. Let me finish with this. When everything stops working, ask the following question. Am I doing something I should not be doing? If your answer is no, move on. If your answer is yes, see if knocking it off helps. Two, am I doing something I should be doing? If your answer is no, move on. If the answer is yes, take whatever action you need, see if that helps. If no measurable change, you may be entering into a spiritual transformation cycle. Incorporate the following into your daily program. The Alcoholics Anonymous program is spiritual principles that expand with use. We feel it fails us in the dark night of the soul. That does not mean the program isn't working. It means our past understanding of the program is no longer working or needs a major upgrade. Spiritual transformations come and go. Keep practicing the basics. Don't use any of the addictions to fix the problem. Keep going to meetings. Set a minimum. I tell my sponsees, psyche and soma. Mind and body. If you're going to go to the gym, the minimum time, the minimum days in the gym is 3 days a week to keep toned. Psyche is mind. So if you go, make it a minimum of 3 meetings a week to stay spiritually fit. That's what I tell at my sponsors. It's just a suggestion, like everything else. Keep looking for service work. Get out of self. That sponsorship, being a greeting at the door. You can make things up. Clean the floors, you know, go to intergroup, GSR. There's tons of service opportunities. You don't wait until somebody knocks you down and asks you to do something. You can volunteer and search out a program of service. You can remember this, that preparation will, if you're prepared to help, the opportunity will afford itself. That's luck. Keep turning to your higher power, no matter how useless it feels. Act as if. Get on your knees and pray. If you don't believe he's there, you know what? Ask him. Ask him if he's there. That's a challenge I'll give to anybody in the rooms listening to me right now. If you don't believe he's there, just ask him. Not that hard, is it? Keep reading program books, one line at a time. Read your big book. Read the 12 and 12. You know, there's a lot of really great stuff. The red book. There's just Drop the Rock, A New Pair of Glasses. These are enlivening, inspiring books. Don't withdraw spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, or socially. Tell program people your experience. Tell them what you're doing. Tell them what's going on. You don't have to be shy. We've heard it all before. We want to help. That's what we're there for. And Alcoholics Anonymous, we can share in a way that can make a useful difference 24/7. There's a meeting going on somewhere every hour. There's usually 24-hour clubs are around. They're gone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For I'm deeply grateful. An attitude of gratitude is a prayer unto God. All the rest is a shopping list of needs and wants. Do we just fade away? Do we return to our primary addiction? Do we switch addictions? Do we settle for a dry, polar life? Do we, you know, dry cleaning? It's not a brainwashing, folks. This is more like a dry cleaning. Do we find a new way that works? Do we practice the basics until the spiritual light shines away in the darkness? Yeah, the light's coming back on again. Do we wait for the miracle? No. Miracles happen all the time, every day. Expect a miracle. If you see them, they happen. Believe me, I see them all the time. But, you know, I know how to recognize miracles. They're all around us. Take the next right step. Do we chip away the useless and harmful as we currently understand it? Do we leave the results to our higher power? The choice is ours. It's all about choice. AA is fundamentally free will or agency. No one tells you what to do. There's no police force. This is your life. Doctors clear away obstacles and create an environment where the natural healing takes place. That's a great metaphor for the program and the spiritual transformation cycle. Anonymous guy with 55 years, sometimes sober, sometimes dry, but always found his way back through the doors of recovery. Harold?
This is really an uplifting evening, and I've enjoyed it very much. See, I had one question. I've been trying to figure out how to get on the chat. How do you do that?
Carmen? You there, Carmen? I think we lost Carmen.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me? I think we lost Carmen. Let's see. How would you get from the chat from there?
Are you on the computer? Talk Radio. I've also got your Rum Radio site up. Do we get on the chat through Blog Talk Radio?
I believe so. Yes, I believe so. I don't know. I've never been on the. You know, that's why I had Carmen come on too, and she offered to do it. So. I don't know. I guess we lost her. Somebody got disconnected or let me see.
She thought we were through at 10.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, there was something else I wanted. Do you have something else, Harold?
No, go ahead.
I wanted to tell the listeners, my daughter Jenny Lynn Speaker is going into the hospital tomorrow for a 10-hour operation on a broken back. So I would ask my friends and listeners and the folks out there, if you keep her in your prayers, the fervent prayer of a righteous man will hold sway in heaven for the healing of the sick. So I would ask you to pray that God's will be done in all things for her best good. Her name is Jenny Lynn Speaker. So I would appreciate if you would do that. Harold?
That's wonderful, and I'll add my prayers to the prayers of our listeners and your prayers. It's really great. you know, my mom was one to really not want anyone to fuss over her, and she hated going to the doctor, and so really, but we went anyway, and I know that's your plan, and I really, really support that. For all you folks who have people who say they don't want attention, it's really nice. You don't have to say a lot. Just be there, hold their hand, be there. Let me encourage you all. Don't assume that they can't hear you. Assume that they can hear you. Talk to them as if they can hear you, because often they're kind of under anesthetic. They're floating around the room. They really can hear. So assume that they can. It really is a lot more effective. Joseph?
Well, the body might be anesthetized, but the spirit is always aware.
That's right.
So you talk to them. They'll get it. If they don't get it here, they'll get it there. But they'll get it. So it's important to maintain the conversation, the connection, on a spiritual basis. One spirit comforting another. Well,
I got to talk to a man not too long ago who had been in a coma for months, and he said the people coming and talking and coming and talking and touching him and talking were so helpful to bring him back to this plane. He was so grateful for that. It really was touching.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, thank you, Harold. I would assume that would be the case. Well, thank you for your time, Harold. I'd tell you, in closing, Rum Radio is in 151 foreign countries, including Mississippi. It's about 2,700 towns, cities, and villages. We're over 250,000 hits to the website. A friend of mine, just to give you an idea, a friend of mine called yesterday from Colorado, David, been in the program for years and years, and said, you know, he went on Facebook, and he saw this, there was a Narcotics Anonymous convention in Ecuador. And he says, you're going to be surprised at this. I had a feeling I knew what was coming. And I clicked on to see about the hotel accommodations in Ecuador, and Rum Radio came up. He says, you know, you're all over the world. He says, where are you now? I said, well, I'm in Ecuador. So take a look at Rum Radio. You'll find good sponsorship. If you're NACA, AA, Narcoleptics Anonymous, or Paranoids Anonymous, where they won't tell you where to hold the meetings, you'll find information on sponsorship. Bill W., one of the guys that started him, and Dr. Bob, said, good sponsorship can mean the difference between life and death. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the radio, rumradio.org. Good night.
Good night.